You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Jeff Lang with Radio Mankato. Every week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. For the next few segments of Surrounded by History, we will dig into the history, the stories behind some of our city parks. Over the years, the Historical Society has collaborated with the City of Mankato to create a heritage plaque program that places green cast iron historic plaques around the community, highlighting our local historic places. There are currently 18 heritage plaques installed around Mankato at historic buildings and homes and some of our city parks. Today, we hope you will enjoy being surrounded by history of Turtelot Park. So, we have to start by understanding where Turtelot Park is. It is located on 300 West Mabel Street. Did you know we had a Mabel Street?
I didn't know yet. No, I did not.
So, Mabel Street is at the north end of Mankato between North 2nd and North 5th Streets. So, we're just on the north end of town. Like many of the parks in that we're going to talk about, this one also anchors a neighborhood named after the park. So, we're affectionately known as Turtelot Neighborhood is encapsulated in where Turtelot Park is. So, the park today is best known for Turtelot Pool. And yep. That's our public swimming pool. And it also features picnic shelters, playground, pickleball courts. I think it's one of the few or only parks with a pickleball court, sand volleyball courts, and a softball diamond. And, of course, at this park, you will spot a green heritage plaque. So Turtelot Park has a great story. This is one of the few properties in the area that was a Works Progress Administration project. The park was created in 1939, and the Works Projects Administration was a Great Depression work program that put people to work. It employed them, gave them income, but the benefit of it was they were developing and creating infrastructure for across the United States. So it had a purpose. The purpose was to put people to work, but it also was creating some of our great infrastructure. And so Turtelot Park is one of those WPA projects.
And the WPA, I see like all over the place at like state parks and stuff too.
Exactly.
Like, that's really kind of cool to know where that dates back to then.
Right. And so then you understand why that's showing up. It's because it was putting people to work.
And it's, I'm guessing, minimum wage or lower at the time.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure.
Cheap labor, but being used, and it was still work.
Right. And I mean, we're in the throes, the deep throes of the Great Depression
right.
during this time. So anybody that could get any kind of job, it was critical. And so other places besides Turtelot Park in our area would be Minneopa State Park, as you mentioned,
yep.
with the state parks, and also the Lookout Point on Lookout Drive in North Mankato.
Oh.
When you pull over, you'll see that stone wall, and you'll also see a plaque there. And really, those stone walls those are dead giveaways that they're WPA projects.
That's hilarious. I was just going to say, is it like a rule at the time that they had to use that stone wall? Because there's one there on the east side of Turtelot.
Yep.
Obviously, the walk down Minneopa.
Yep.
And the original bridge was pretty stone, I believe.
Right.
And then, of course, the wall. But
yep.
Lookout, that's so funny.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of when I think mm-hmm. WPA.
Yep. And I think that's a true giveaway that it's a WPA project. And so I don't know if it was just really when you look at them, they're using their natural resources. They weren't bringing in some other product.
Right.
And again, at this time, the country's in the throes of the Great Depression. So you were going to use what you had available. So back to Turtelot Park. The WPA was responsible for that wall that we just talked about,
mm-hmm.
but they were also responsible for the construction of the swimming pool and wading pool and the bathhouse. And so when you take a look at those are all WPA projects. And they opened June 30th, 1940.
Wow, that's such a long time ago.
It is.
It's so crazy. I mean, actually, it's still young compared to the other parks we've talked about.
Right, right. But then it's pretty neat to think about that. that are, and there's been improvements obviously made to the pools and mm-hmm. to the bathhouse and things like that, but we're still using a WPA project every single summer when it gets hot outside, kids are flooding over to the pool. So it's pretty exciting.
Now, why is it still called Turtelot, though?
So Turtelot, I know it's a weird name. So why do we have a park named Turtelot? Well, there was a gentleman. His name was John E. Turtelot, and he was a lawyer in Mankato, a Civil War veteran, and he was Mankato's first philanthropist. Mm-hmm. So Turtelot was born in Connecticut in 1833, and at the age of 24, he opened a law practice here in Mankato in 1857. So Mankato is only about 5 years old by the time that he is settling here and opening a law office. But the Civil War...
He's very young to be a lawyer, too.
He was young. The town was young. And it is also right around the corner, the Civil War breaks out in 1861. Well, he set out to recruit his own military company to defend the United States, and that company was known as the Valley Sharpshooters. It later became Company H of the 4th Minnesota Infantry, and this is a big deal for anybody that's a Civil War buff. There's the Company H. For Minnesota was a really big deal. So Turtelot, though, he enlisted a whole bunch of people to be part of the Valley Sharpshooters. They were all volunteers, and because he was the lead of it all, they elected him captain right away. August of 1862, he becomes a lieutenant colonel of the regiment, and by 1864, in 1862, he's a lieutenant colonel, and then he becomes colonel a couple of years later. But the big deal for the history buffs and the Civil War buffs, the 4th Minnesota Turtelot commanded them at the Battle of Champion Hill, the assault on Vicksburg, the Battle of Chattanooga, the Battle of Altoona, the Battle of Bentonville, and he was also part of a brigade during Sherman's March to the Sea.
Wow.
Yeah, so he...
A lot of things that stick out there from the history books.
Exactly. So he plays a major role as a Civil War colonel, and... It's just really remarkable. And he's all with that volunteer group. He's kind of not officially part of the U.S. Army. He's part of the volunteer aspect of the Army. So after the Civil War ends, he returns back to Mankato to resume his law practice. But he doesn't stay very long because the U.S. Army is pretty proud of what he's done. So they call on him, and he serves a number of prestigious positions in the Army until he retires in 1885. So,
did he ever come back to Minnesota then?
He did not come back to Minnesota. He actually settled in La Crosse, Wisconsin, after retirement. I think there was family there. So he only has a really short little window of time in Mankato, and goes off and does these great things during the Civil War, but he never forgets where he started from. And so in 1888, Turtelot donated $8,000 for the construction of the city's first hospital. In exchange, the city was to provide a location, 2 acres of land at least. And the idea was, the first proposal was to build it on Bunker Hill, which is what today's Highland Park is known as. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But instead, they decided to build Turtelot Hospital on 4th Avenue and Maxfield Street. So that's still kind of that north end of town that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. This is west of Riverfront Drive. So the two-story, 20-room hospital opened in 1889. The other thing about Turtelot, it's very interesting, and I wonder if it has to tie back to his Civil War experience, but the other condition with the construction of the hospital, the condition he had with the city of Mankato at the time, was that the hospital had to be free of charge to anyone that was unable to pay. So I think that's really interesting. We're talking about the 1880s, 1889, and they're really concerned that people aren't going to get the health care they need, and that they're going to be held back. If they don't have the money, they just won't go get the health care they need. So really interesting. I mean, and it was a true community hospital. Local groups, churches, service clubs, they were all donating money. They would have special offerings on Sundays or whatever it was, and they would donate the money, the goods, whatever they could to support the operation of the hospital. At the time, this is the only hospital in Mankato.
It's before the other two we learned about last week or whatever it was.
Right. So this is the only hospital in Mankato. So the city operates the hospital for about 7 years, and then they turn it over to the Sisters of the Sorrowful Mother in 1897. And I know that's like, why are you telling me this? There's a good reason. I'm going to tell you in a second.
I was actually curious what kind of group it is.
So these are the sisters. So just think of the Catholic sisters.
It's that kind of deal. Okay.
Yep. So their order is the sorrowful.
That's going to you say it for a reason.
Mother. But these are sisters. Catholic sisters, nuns. So that problem that goes back to that where they decided to build Turtelot Hospital is it wasn't connected to city water or sewage. So so that's not ideal for a hospital, as you can probably imagine. Right. So there was a well, but the well could get contaminated. And the sisters, once they came, they were already their order, if I'm probably using the word wrong, but they were nurses. So they're used to this, but they want clean water, obviously, to run a hospital. So they only stay on for a couple of years, and then they organized the construction of St. Joseph's Hospital, which was in the Lincoln Park neighborhood, which we talked about before.
Yep.
And so then shortly after that, the Lutherans decide that maybe they could manage Turtelot Hospital, but decided that because of that issue with the water and sewage, they decide to also build in Washington Park, opening Emmanuel Lutheran Hospital in 1906. So it's really interesting because Turtelot sets us up for that first hospital, but then it really led to St. Joseph's being built and Emmanuel Lutheran Hospital being built. But a fun little tidbit, so we know that Turtelot Hospital more than likely did not survive because we don't hear much about it.
Right.
So by 1906, early, by 1902, they kind of had already abandoned the hospital and said, you know, it's not worth it. We don't have the city infrastructure. But when the Lutherans were building Emmanuel Lutheran Hospital, some of the stone from the old Turtelot Hospital as that building was being torn down was used for the construction of Emmanuel Lutheran Hospital.
So the hospital is actually only open for about just short of 20 years?
Yeah.
Is that about it?
Yep.
So then here's a question I think kind of answers itself in the description here. There was no sewer or city sewer or water. How much had the city built to the north yet at that point?
They hadn't.
Because it seems like we're kind of really far north at that point because everything's down in the Washington Park area, Main Street area at this time.
Right. And so even by the turn of the century, you are getting the Turtelot neighborhood. You're getting those houses down there and you're getting they're starting to progress north, but really that area around Maxfield and 4th Avenue, that's really an undeveloped area.
And that's what I was thinking, too, because it's like, how far have they built out at that point? I always am curious about the footprint of the city itself and how it's developed and built itself out.
Right. And it would have gone north and south more than east and west. Well, obviously, west would have been the river, but east is the bluff.
Right.
So it would have taken – it would took a lot longer to get up.
So we would have
along
the river first.
Yes. We would have been stretched out north to south before we really expanded east. And we can see that the development of how we expanded east, but that's really once transportation becomes a little bit easier to get up on the hill. You're still going to have houses down there, but a lot of it, you're not going to have that city infrastructure for a while. So because of this really generous donation that made it possible for the very first hospital, even though the hospital didn't stay for a really long time, in 1927, the city of Mankato named an abandoned railway right-of-way Turtelot Parkway. And we've talked about that when we talked about Washington Park. Mm-hmm. This is located on North 4th Street, north of Washington Park. A railroad line was what Washington Park was before it became
a park. That's where that line came in from the
north
there.
Exactly. And so they had this boulevard space. And you can see it when you're driving on North 4th Street. You've got this great big boulevard and the houses are set back and all of that. Well, you'll see a stone plaque or monument that says Turtelot Parkway. And that ties back to John Turtelot and his original donation as for the first hospital. So then a couple of years later, that's when in 1940, so 1927, it's the Parkway. Oh. And then when they're starting to build their they're building the park, and they actually did like a naming contest type of thing in the newspaper about what should we call this park. That's when they came up in 1940, they came up, or 1930s, they came up with the idea of naming it Turtelot Park.
Okay.
Because again, the north end of town was where that first hospital was. So unfortunately, Turtelot died in 1891, so he never saw the park that was named after him. He never saw that parkway. He didn't even see the close of the hospital.
Which is maybe good for him. He might not have been happy about that.
No, and his ancestors did. He still had a brother, and that was kind of watching over it. So there was quite a to-do about getting it back in order and respecting his brother's wishes for the community. But it's so interesting to think back about this man who made a donation and knowing that he really didn't want to be. He didn't stay here. He wasn't a resident that long.
Right.
But he's a resident at the beginning of Mankato being a city. So he had such an interest in seeing the city continue to grow, even though he wasn't going to live here, that he invested in that very first hospital.
And donating $8,000 at the time had to be an insane amount.
It had to. I mean, because I think what I was reading, I think it ended up ultimately changing to $9,000 that ended up paying for the full construction of it. And I think he also supported it, you know, with a little bit of money every year to make sure that they had the management and the resources they needed.
Incredible.
So, yeah, it's pretty neat to think about. And we think about even today with, I mean, he's just the icon of philanthropy to start a community and to be involved in a community, and then to watch all of the different groups and churches and service clubs that came alongside and were supporting it as well. And there was a lot of that about the pool when the pool was being built. Even though it was a WPA project, obviously the city had to be involved in it with the parcel of land, and a lot of the citizens of the community were really excited about it too and joined forces. So it's just really neat to look at back at this man who alone has such an incredible military history, being involved in the Civil War, but the impact and the legacy that he left in our community by making the decision to make that donation. And he actually approached the city about it. It wasn't the city approached him.
He wanted to come back and say, here's what I want to do.
Yep. He wrote a letter to the city council and said, here's my deal. I'm going to give you this money in exchange. You're going to give me some land, and we're going to build a hospital.
So that whole part of the neighborhood, I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful area, that whole mm-hmm. part. And now the thing about it is where the railroad would have came through and how they built that median in the middle of that Turtelot Parkway and how mm-hmm. beautiful that neighborhood is.
Right.
And it all leads up to the park, which is like the hub of that area.
Mm-hmm.
And it all because some guy wanted to donate that
right.
back. And that's so cool to think about.
Right.
And how it's just become the hub of that area.
Yep.
People go there all the time for pickleball or whatever it may be.
Exactly.
And the park is bigger than you think it is,
it
too, because we only park really on the one side of the park. There's mm-hmm. more farther in.
Right. And so you get to, I mean, it's a really, we're lucky to have it. It's a chance for us to look back at a WPA project, which was putting people to work during the Great Depression. It's knowing that there was a man who invested in our community with a donation. He didn't need it. He was doing it for the citizens of the town. And so I just, it's a really neat way. Once you understand the history behind some of these parks and the people behind some of these different places, you realize what kind of a legacy is left behind when we invest in our community.
Yeah, that's a really fun story. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, so we hope you also enjoyed listening to today's program as we explored the history of Turtelot Park, the history of a place, a city park, a pool, all named after Mankato's first city philanthropist. All of the information we shared today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.